Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. And we welcome in our friend to the program, Jared Stillman, who joins us every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Stilly, good morning. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you two?
Doing awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Stilly, it's been a tough week. We've had a lot of conversation about Sam Darnold this week. PK putting it out there that doesn't think the Titans are going to be all that interested. So I have two questions for you. Number one, you know, Charles Robinson is talking about how the market for Darnold may not be as robust as maybe we once thought. What do you make of that? Why do you think that is? And would an apparent lack of interest from the Titans be a signal to you that they're leaning Cam Ward?
So That's a really loaded question. I'll take the first one, which is the Charles Robinson front. You know, the teams that need quarterbacks, the Titans, the Giants, the Jets, the Raiders, outside of the Steelers, every team that needs a quarterback is what I think we would traditionally call one of the dumb teams, right? The Browns, you know, in the socialist government NFL, the teams that seem to always put themselves there towards the bottom. It feels like the Titans are certainly in that category as well. So I think there may be something to do with that. You know, Ian and I were talking about this off the air yesterday about, like, why Minnesota doesn't want to keep Sam Darnold. And I think there's a part of this, you know, Kevin O'Connell, young coach, experience success, drafted his young quarterback. And, like, maybe there's a little Vrabel of the, I can do it. You'll see I can do it. You know, with Kevin O'Connell, that maybe in week 8 of next year, if Sam Darnold's not on that team, he may be sitting there saying, yeah, maybe I probably should have stuck with Sam. But so I think that a lot of these teams are either being stupid or they're holding their cards close to the vest. Like, Pittsburgh's going to go sign Darnold, but they're not giving anybody any hints that they are. The second thing is, what was the second question again?
Well, does it signal to you that they could be interested in Cam, that Cam Ward's their guy?
Well, I mean, when Kaharski came on the show the other day with you guys and said that if you want the Titans' first pick, you have to drop next year's first. So if the Giants want to get to one, they have to give up next year's first. Well, that tells me that they don't love Cam Ward, because last year the Giants tried to trade with New England to move up to number 3, and they offered next year's first. And this isn't a rumor. We saw it on Hard Knocks. They offered next year's first, and New England was like, yeah, nah, we're going to just go with Drake May. So if you like the quarterback, next year's first is not enough to get you to move off of it. So, again, I see this as a binary choice in terms of starting quarterbacks. It's either Sam Darnold or it's Cam Ward. And the Titans, for some reason, must be so smart. I don't know what it must be all these great fired general managers they have. Not that there's anything against fired general managers, but they got 4 general managers in there, and apparently they've got some mystery quarterback that I don't know that they're going to pull out of their tushies that apparently is going to be better than the only 2 viable options it seems that they have. Because, again, if they loved Cam Ward, then they wouldn't be really discussing the number 1 pick. And it is obvious from all of the, you know, conjecture that's out there that the Titans are legitimately discussing the first pick. So, again, I think it's the stupid teams doing stupid things, turning their back on Sam Darnold because they watch one bad playoff game. And I think that the Titans, if they end up without Sam Darnold as their quarterback or Cam Ward as their quarterback, it'll end up being something stupid like PK suggested, which is Will Levis returning with Mac Jones.
What did you call that? Did you say that was a bulging question? What kind of question did you say that was?
I don't know. I said loaded question, but.
Oh, loaded. Okay. 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 That makes more sense. I worry sometimes with your word choice lately on the air. We may need to have like one of those sensitivity trainings with you.
We do have sensitivity training. Joe, did you not get the email?
Coming up.
Yeah, I did get the email. But I think you may need an extra session on your own. You know, like we may need to, and then we'll
have right around
Jared.
The corner.
Yeah. No, thank you. I did get the email. So one thing you, I think you're missing here. I can't believe that you don't miss what anyone in this league ever says about anything, but you said the Vikings turning their back on Darnold and O'Connell. Oh, can do it. I mean, Rappaport is adamant that the Vikings want him back. So I'm just saying I just saw his report yesterday and he's like, they want it back. And then it's those guys and, you know, then they'll figure it out. But then they, I mean, if I'm the Vikings, I certainly would rather have Darnold back, and then if McCarthy's ready, fine, and then you make the transition. But I guess to me, if that's true, then the Vikings obviously had a sense that people just don't think as much of Darnold as you do. But again, I will raise my hand. I'm in general agreement that to me, like, if you can get Darnold for, like, you know, whatever, 30 some a year, whatever the guarantee would be, what would it be? If you did 4 for $120, what's the guarantee? 75, 80?
Well, I mean, something like you're that. You're not getting, you, the Titans, are not getting Sam Darnold for that. You have to pay more. That's the, you are the worst team in the league. You have no good players. Your coach
unless
is on
the
hot
seat. Unless
you're
the only team, the only team offering that. I mean, apparently the market's way softer than you anticipated. I anticipated.
Again,
I feel like most people anticipated.
The Titans have to pay the suck tax. Like, yeah. The Titans have to pay the tax. They, to me, I would, again, even if I was sitting back here and cards to the vest because I'm the Titans and I'm trying to get the most value right now in discussions for the number one pick, so I don't want anyone to think that I might not take Cam Ward, but I'm going to sign Darnold, and I'm hearing all the things that are being said right now. I'm still going to offer him $40 million a year. Because then I'm like, I can sleep easy at night knowing I'm going to get the quarterback that I want. I mean, this idea that the Titans
sounds like
can
something
have their,
a dumb team would do.
No, I mean, that's what Rupert Murdoch did to buy the NFL from CBS. You know, in 1994, and I think this is a great business lesson, in 1994, the NFL rights were up, and the NFL for the NFC package, which is better than the AFC package because the NFC package has the bigger markets in it. And in it, CBS wanted to pay $200 million. They were paying $220, and the NFL wanted $250. And CBS was saying, we're losing money at $220, so we want to pay $200 million. So in a leverage play, Jerry Jones and the late Pat Bowlen met with Fox. Rupert Murdoch, and Robbie, you might be a little too young to remember this, but Joe, you remember when Fox was a nothing network, right?
Yep.
Okay, so Rupert Murdoch
Tracy Ullman show.
Meets with Jerry Jones and Pat Bowlen and offers $400 million. And again, CBS is losing money at $220. And the reason Rupert Murdoch said that he offered $400 million was he said, I'm buying a network. You know, I'm putting Fox right there with ABC, CBS, and NBC by paying extra, even though I'm going to lose the money. I'm buying a network. And he had to offer so much money that the NFL couldn't just turn around, go back to CBS and say, oh, well, they're offering $300, so give us $250. So it had to be so much money. That is the you suck tax. You have to pay that. Jacksonville had to pay that for Christian Kirk a couple of years ago. Exploded the entire receiver market. And so this idea that the Titans can sit there and say, like, oh, well, you know, we're only going to do this on our terms. It's like, who is going to be your quarterback? Oh, well, we'll just run Mac Jones out there. And I will say this. Let's say PK's right. They don't go after Darnold. They trade the pick, and they run Levis back out there in some capacity. Because PK has, I don't want to say it on Joe's show or we'll get all mad, but PK is hell-bent on this idea that Will Levis is going to be on the team next year. That Will Levis
Oh, you're
going to
say he has a something for something? You got to stop doing
that. A little chubby. But, you know, with the idea that Will Levis is going to be playing quarterback for this team next year. If they do that, then I will not, in any capacity, call for Brian Callahan to be fired next year. Because if they send in Mac Jones and Will Levis out there, that to me, you cannot blame Brian Callahan if they give him no quarterback this upcoming season. You don't have a quarterback. You are the worst team in the NFL. Because you're the worst team in the NFL, you truly have the choice to take Cam Ward, and nobody can stop you. There are two options for quarterback. You have to pay the price. You can't nickel and dime everything to the top. You have to pay the price at quarterback. And apparently they're smarter than me, I guess.
Here's what I don't understand.
Crazy thought.
Here's what I don't understand. beyond all the Darnold stuff, because we can go round and round on that all day. But, like, why does it have to be –
plus, don't
like,
we all agree on it?
Yeah, I think for the most part. Like, I think you two are probably a little bit higher on Darnold than I am. But even me would be like, I don't think you should dismiss it out of hand. But what I don't understand is why does it have to be, like, we're not getting Darnold – and it goes all the way down to, like, Mac Jones or Jameis Winston. Like, I understand Aaron Rodgers is a pain in the butt. I understand Russell Wilson is weird. But both of those guys on one-year deals are way better options than Mac Jones.
They don't want to pay. I mean, that's what this is about, right?
But are you really paying either one of those guys that much?
I mean, Russell's probably – again, I think my dad has this thing. Whenever a quarterback signs a new contract, like Trevor Lawrence signs for $55 million, and I tell my dad, like, Trevor Lawrence just signed for $250 million and it's $55 million a year. And he, because he's a little bit old school, you know, is like, they pay these quarterbacks too much money. And I'm like, well, the other option is the owners keep the money. Like, when we have to tune to Netflix on Christmas Day, like, the players get a cut of that. And so when it comes to these quarterback salaries, I keep being told by everybody that $40 million is just way too much for Sam Darnold. I mean, $40 million is just the going rate for a tier two quarterback is $55 million. So when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, sure, maybe Aaron will take less to go somewhere where, you know, he feels wanted and respected, but how much less? Like, Aaron's still going to want $30 million when the going rate is $55 million, and Aaron almost threw for 4,000 yards last year, had 28 touchdowns and 11 interceptions, and Russell won 10 games or whatever it was last year. Like, those guys are going to want some money. You know, the reason that Russell didn't want any money last year was because the Broncos were paying him. So, again, the reason they're going to go to Mac Jones is because they're being cheap. Like, that's that. Again, we're using the PK reporting as if it is gospel and that there could be no way the Titans could be sending out a smokescreen or anything, that it's going to be some Scarbini backup that they're going to try to bridge in there the way that Arthur Smith tried to bridge in Mariota in Atlanta. And if they do that, then they are stupid. And I just, they're a combination of stupid and cheap. And so for me, I really just, again, to your point, Robbie, I understand the idea of like, okay, well, what about Rodgers? What about Russell? But again, when Mike Borgonzi takes the job and he talks about solidifying the quarterback position, I don't think guys north of 35 solidify anything at this point.
So the other day, in the midst of another win, I want you to win a Jared versus Joe. I don't think it's happened in this calendar year. But some people were texting me that you have in the past professed your admiration for Mac Jones and that you have totally flip-flopped on Mac Jones. Is this true or not?
So I thought that Mac Jones could be like a reclamation project quarterback because I don't know about you guys, but I still can't get over the fact that Belichick hired Matt Patricia to run the offense in Mac Jones' second year. Joe, I think it was you that said
it's
like maybe a month ago that was like
horrific move.
Can you even believe Belichick? Like, I couldn't believe Belichick was doing it while he was doing it. But to look back in hindsight, to see Belichick doing that, it's like, what? So I thought to myself, like, hey, maybe he could be a guy where, like Darnold with the Jets, like Tannehill with Adam Gase, like some of these guys where, you know, they're not as bad as their organization makes them look. Rich Gannon feels that way about Daniel Jones. But when I put the quarterback board together, the two quarterbacks that really stood out as just sucking were Mac Jones and Kirk Cousins. And so, look, maybe it's all New England's fault. Mac Jones won two games last year, both against the Titans. Mac Jones got in those games and just threw the ball to Brian Thomas on every play, but apparently you can't do that against any other team. Only Denard Wilson's defense can you do that to, I guess. And the other teams you can't. I mean, Mac Jones had less big-time throws, according to Pro Football Focus, in 2023 as a starting quarterback than Joshua Dobbs did.
Dobbs can sling it, man.
I can't roll with that when Sam Darnold is on the table.
So you created your own quarterback board? Is that you create a little board? Did you draw little weenies on it? Like, tell us about this thing.
All right, we probably need to stop all that.
All right. I got to stop.
The free agent board.
Stop being so phallic,
Jared. Is something that we do every year on the program. And again, we go through all the, we go through the stats, watch some film, we do all kinds of stuff. Spent pretty much all day Saturday and Sunday on the free agent boards, which is why I know that if I were the Titans and I could scrounge the money together, I'd have some interest in Dan Moore Jr., the left tackle out of Pittsburgh. Now you're going to have to pay about $20 million a year to get him, but I might put him at left tackle and flip J.C. Latham to right. Today, we will have the Jared Stillman free agency plan. It is a tradition unlike any other every Friday before the opening of free agency. And, you know, we use our little flare pins right here. We got the blue is just a fact. The red is bad. The green is good. And a lot of guys, it kind of looks color-coded. Like a Christmas tree. You know, there's a mix of red and a mix of green and a little blue in there. And when it comes to Kirk Cousins and Mac Jones, it's pretty much all red. So I'm out on Mac Jones. And Mac Jones, I could sign for $4 million to be the backup, but as far as a starting quarterback is concerned, he hasn't done enough for me to want to do that over, say, a Sam Darnold or using the pick on a Cam Ward. And I don't even really like Cam Ward, but I would still pick Cam Ward before I would roll with Mac Jones. And if the Titans do this, this is why I believe that. If the Titans do this, then they're punting on 25. If Paul's right and Levis returns in some capacity as the starting quarterback or competing for the quarterback job, then they're giving up on the season. Then Callahan will be the sacrificial lamb. They'll win another three games. They'll pick first and fourth next year, and they'll hype that up. But I'm not ready to punt on the season. I've seen way too many teams have a great offseason and turn things around by playing a fourth-place schedule. The positivity that I think comes with that, that's what happened to Borgonzi in Kansas City. Alex Smith got there. They were in the playoffs that first year. So I'm not ready to punt on 2025, but if PK's reporting is accurate, and that is what ends up happening, they will be giving up on 2025.
Jared, we'll be listening at 2 o'clock today, and we'll be listening for Barry Trotz on the program as well.
See you guys, 3 o'clock for Barry Trotz.
There you go. Jared Stillman, our guest, joins us every Friday. We'll react to what Stilly had to say coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning. We'll have TD with us at 8 o'clock, getting into all things Titans with him. Appreciate Stilly for being with us in the last segment. Hey Joe, I don't know. I mean, it kind of feels like some acceptance starting to finally set in for old Stilly as it relates to the Sam Darnold part of this. I think he's gotten to the end of the five stages of grief.
Is he there? Yeah, is he acceptance, right? Yeah. Yeah, it feels like he's starting to get close to that. You know, look, I'm keeping, and maybe I'm just wasn't as emotionally attached to the whole idea as him, but keeping an open mind on this. I mean, if the market is as soft for, yeah, just using Charles's word here, as it appears, I think it's wild that the Titans wouldn't have any interest in looking into that. And I hear what Jared is saying on the Titans tax. We've talked about that. I don't know that it's like the Raiders are bad too.
Or if you're the only one offering this a certain deal, I mean, isn't that kind of the tax?
But like, you know, if the Titans and Raiders were both interested in Darnold, like, do the Titans have to pay like $10 million more a year to get him over? I mean, I don't know. I would personally rather live in Nashville, Tennessee than in Las Vegas, Nevada, but that's just me.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Tom Brady is, you know, it'd be great. Be amazing to work with him, I guess.
He could take you to Montana at any point.
That's right.
Who doesn't want to go there?
You know, you could get some skiing in.
He could. I mean, yeah, I'm with you. Like, the Raiders have been a bad organization for a long time. Now, they do have Brady, and, yeah, they've got Brock Bowers, so there's some things to like there about where they're going, potentially. You know, Max Crosby's hanging around, so some things to like there. But, like, by and large, like, is there really a huge difference between the Raiders, the Titans, the Jets? It was amazing to me looking at the odds, like, that the odds were for Sam Darnold going back to the Jets were higher than the Titans. I'm like, it's not happening. Like, why in the world would he do that?
Yeah, I've ruled that one out, and maybe I shouldn't, but I can't. He's experienced that, and it was a terrible experience. So that one does not seem right. Look, like Pittsburgh. Yes, if you compare Pittsburgh to the Titans organizationally, they have a great, if volatile, young receiver. They have a good defense. They have, good head coach. Like, there's an example of that's a winning organization, and quarterbacking the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, that means something, still in this league. So yeah, if you had those two things, you're going to pay a tax. You also don't have state income tax here, but
that's true.
But I get that. But again, are the Titans just completely out on him? Is there a mystery name? To your point, I mean, it's not like we know for sure if we have to go back, PK didn't defend it. He just said that's what he thought. He thought it would end up being something like that. But bridge kind of guy with Levis. The only thing he reported was that they were not getting into an exorbitant deal situation with Sam Darnold. I think it could still go a lot of different ways after that.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your reaction to get to on the quarterback front for the Titans. We'll give you the latest updates on the NHL trading deadline as well. The Rex Rant at 7:45, TD at 8 o'clock, Weekend Winners at 8:30. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from Brewster's Real Ice Cream in Hendersonville. See why Brewster's is a scoop above the rest with the best ice cream, shakes, sundaes, splits, blasts, and more. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. Also, make sure you tune in later today to 94.9 The Fan for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores host Xavier. Pregame beginning at 4:15, first pitch at 4:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at thegamenashville.com. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. As far as the other part of this that PK threw out there the other day, in terms of trading back, obviously the Titans want a future first-round pick if you're trading back out of the first overall pick. My question is, are they actually going to be able to get that? Like, the Giants are the team right now that everybody's connecting to moving up to number one and going to get Cam Ward. Moving back two spots, can the Titans land a first-round pick next year? And if they can't, would Titans fans be okay with them moving back to three and it not involving a first-round pick from next year, Joe?
My initial reaction to the idea of a first-round pick was that I can't see them getting that. I definitely agree that they should aspire to that.
Sure.
There's probably something in between where it lands. Because I've seen people say, basically they swap the picks and then like two-thirds, which I know doesn't sound that exciting. They're not in the third round this year. I mean, that's two legit football players. Could it be like the Giants third this year and second next year? I mean, to me, that's – if you look at like point value, that's probably fair. But also, again, the whole – like the way the board shakes out, I saw a mock draft today or maybe yesterday. I think I glanced at it this morning where, it's just like Titans taking Carter – Browns taken Travis Hunter, and then the Giants just can stick where they are and get Cam Ward.
Yeah.
Obviously they'd love that. They hope that happens. They have to feel like, especially if the Titans, now if the Titans aren't going to sign a Darnold or a Rod, somebody where it's like, this is definitely the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans in 2025, then it's still certainly on the board that the Titans could go with Ward, but the team has to feel like there's a threat that the Titans might actually take that quarterback, or is there someone looking to jump ahead, or are the Browns, Charles made the point or the case yesterday that the Browns could be interested in Shedeur Sanders because he fits what they do. They liked him. But could you talk, if you're the Giants, do you fear, oh, that's actually just misdirection and they're going to take Cam?
Yeah.
Are the Raiders going to try to jump up there? The Titans would obviously have to move out of that premium pick position, but they could maybe get more picks and a bigger haul. Or do the Giants worry that might happen? So they have to get up into that. I mean, obviously the Titans, if they're not just sitting there and taking somebody at one, then they want teams to be worried that other teams want to get there to get Cam Ward. And I think it's Cam Ward. I mean, that seems to be most of the reporting around the NFL, is that Cam Ward is clearly viewed as the guy now by most people.
Yeah, and then, you know, can you get another team involved other than the Giants, whether it's the Raiders or the Jets or whoever? And then that becomes the question of, all right, so all these other teams want Cam Ward. Why don't you at number one, right? Like, you're just as quarterback needy as anybody else. Like, why don't you? And look, I'm not saying all the other teams are right. That's just one thing we'll probably talk about if that situation ends up playing out that way. I think the more people, like, if you're the Titans and you come to the conclusion that Cam Ward's not your guy, you really need as many other people to be in on Cam Ward as possible. And maybe you can drive up the price to get, like, if the Giants are scared to death that the Raiders are going to move up and go get Cam Ward, maybe they get desperate with their price and you can really just kind of pull one over on them and still end up maybe with the guy you're looking for at number three anyway.
Yeah, that's the hope. And then if that's how it works out, whoever it is, then if you're the Titans, then you better damn well hope he doesn't become a great quarterback in this league, because you had that top pick. And again, I'm first guessing right now. I wouldn't do it. So I'd be fired too, but I can't be fired because that's not my job.
It's true.
My job is to sit here with you and try to sneak in phallic jokes at the expense of Jared Stillman. But if you're these people, then, I mean, this is kind of tenure defining right from the start, right? Either you go with them and the Titans have another stab in the 21st century after several failures of drafting QB at the top of a draft and hoping that he would be what they wanted him to be. Doesn't mean you stop trying, but is this the right guy to do it? Or you don't go there, and then you hope against hope that all of a sudden, you know, Patrick Mahomes part duh does not materialize in the Meadowlands or Las Vegas or wherever.
I do want to bring up something that LD from McMinnville on the text line earlier brought up, which with free agency beginning next week is interesting to keep in mind. I've talked about this guy actually before when we were going through some free agent options, but Javon Holland is out there. He was a safety for the Dolphins. Now, apparently the Dolphins are trying to get him back in the fold, and Cameron Ward, friend of the show, has put it out there that, you know, the Dolphins are trying to get him back, but if not, two teams could be interested in him at least in free agency, one of them being the Carolina Panthers, the other being the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, and I said Cam Ward. We've been talking about Cam Ward. It's Cam Wolf.
Cameron Wolf, friend
Cam
of the
Wolf
show.
Put that out there.
Yeah, close enough.
Cam Ward is a little busy. Yeah, Cam Ward may one day be a friend of the show. We'll find out. But Cam Wolf put that out there, that the Panthers and Titans could be interested, and that his price tag, by the time free agency is said and done, could end up falling somewhere in that $15, $17 million per season range. So just worth pointing out that Cameron Wolf has put it out there on the NFL Network that the Titans could be interested in Javon Holland, the safety.
Well, they need good football players. So thumbs up. You got money. You got cap space. You got all kinds of needs all over the field. Go get good football players. And whether you sign up, you know, sign a significant veteran quarterback deal or not, you have money. So spend it. And that's where, you know, Amy Adams Strunk apparently is just going to be a, you know, a total non-factor publicly until, like PK said, until it's time for the Lombardi trophy to be handed out. And then she's going to push through everybody and get to the front of the stage. But you know what? If her people spend money, then by golly, that's the best way she can be involved.
I agree. Although I kind of miss our Miss Amy press conference updates, or our press conference is not the right word, but even like state run hostage video updates. I miss our updates. We need more.
Who will do them, by the way? Mike Keith, moving on to the Vols. At some point, maybe next week we should get into that. Like, what the heck? Who is doing Titans play-by-play?
I don't know.
This might be a good topic for next week.
Could be. There's nothing going on next week, is there?
That's right. There's actually news next week.
We'll get to it at some point.
Do it for my rant.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Speaking of the rant, Rex Rant is coming up next. We'll have TD at 8 o'clock. Weekend winners at 8:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And other days, stop playing us, man. We the Detroit Lions. We the Detroit Lions, stop playing with us. I don't even watch TV, but I heard everybody already picked the Packers over us. Stop playing with us. That's all I gotta say, man. Don't let these tears fool you. It's all dog around this mug.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. I forgot about the Jamal Williams rant. I haven't heard that one in a while. That's a good one.
That was fantastic. It was like emotional, and then all of a sudden, boom, flipped just the switch.
Dead serious.
After that super exciting win, well, to keep your Packers out of the playoffs. Not to get the Lions in the playoffs, but to keep your Packers out of the playoffs. So that was
exciting. Very upset.
Yeah. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that world a little bit today and really follow up on someone I talked about recently. His name's Andy Isaac, and he passed away this week. And it's very sad, 45 years old, a guy, again, I wouldn't say Andy Isaac. I've never met him in person, but I think this is true of a lot of people. I think this is true of, at this point, millions of people, I would say, is that they didn't meet him, but they knew him in some way or knew of him. I interacted on him with going back to like the early days of probably even like my blog covering Michigan State. He's a Michigan State grad. He's a diehard Detroit fan, and he battled Hodgkin's lymphoma for 19 years. So if you haven't heard of Andy Isaac, again, I've talked about him before, but he created a following on social media called, you know, World of Isaac is a Twitter account. I think he was on Instagram too, but I don't, you know me, I can do one.
You
thing.
Ain't going there.
I ain't going there. And a couple of things. First of all, this week, the outpouring for him has been crazy to me, including, so ESPN Sports Center, Elle Duncan. I really want to shout out Elle Duncan. Here's what she had to say this week after Andy Isaac passed.
Sports world lost a beloved voice today. Andy Isaac, the Detroit sports superfan and social media personality behind Fatter Day and the World of Isaac, has died. Known for his humor, passion, and larger-than-life presence online, Isaac battled Hodgkin's lymphoma for nearly two decades, sharing his journey with honesty and heart. Detroit teams paid tribute to him in his final days, lighting up scoreboards with hashtag Fatter Day, his signature celebration of food, fandom, and life. A true original, Andy Isaac leaves behind a lasting impact on sports and the digital world that he helped shape. Andy Isaac was 45 years old.
I mean, when I saw that, like, SportsCenter, did a thing on him, I'm like, holy cow. Like, all the Detroit teams, Michigan State, Michigan, all of them did tributes to him. Fatter Day, for people who don't know. I mean, he built a huge following with just fun things. Like, he would always get these experimental foods. It's like chocolate marshmallow bugles, and he would film himself, like, trying them. You know, like, all these food products have, like, you know, like these test, whatever test products, right, of different flavors. He would always find the most obscure stuff, try them. He went to every like awesome restaurant in Michigan and had pictures of it. But the point is, he was a diehard sports fan who actually created positivity online. And so I would like to challenge all of you listening who are part of Preds Twitter, Titans Twitter, Vol Twitter. See, I'm hard on Vol Twitter, but as you know, Robbie, it's just because it's so huge that there's just more idiots.
A lot of them.
Vandy Twitter. to look at Andy and think about how he was able to take this, as much as we rip social media, he's an example of like social media, like making lives better because like he just had fun. And again, we're talking about, so here's an interview from The Athletic with him from 2019. So Detroit sports now has moved out of it. The Pistons are good. The Tigers are good. The Lions are good. The Red Wings are, they might make the playoffs, but they had a stretch where like all four were awful. Okay. Like, it's kind of crazy. And in Nashville, we can relate right now with the Preds and the Titans. Like, both. How about Preds? You get the number one pick along with the Titans this year. But during this, he was asked by Bill Shea in the Athletic article about, you know, about still being like Detroit misery and how he's still able to like not be, you know, basically a total jerk bag online. He says there's people on Twitter who build their brand on being super negative about sports. That's fine. I understand, but it gets kind of depressing. It gets kind of morbid just being negative all the time. So I try to balance out the angry portion, but it's hard. It's hard when I really get into Michigan State football to the point where I'm physically angry at the games. It's not a good way to live when you're physically angry, end quote. But point being, he made it fun, and I would like to challenge people to be more like him. I'm trying to think of like for Vol Twitter, who do we have? You know, I guess Big Orange Mac would be an example of someone who, like, he may be angry about the Vols, and he's into it. We've had him on the show, and he's, like, really, really into it. But also, like, it's sports, and he kind of keeps that in perspective. And then he maybe go a little far in some other areas of the internet. but, I mean, yeah, that's fine. You know, different strokes for different folks.
Yep.
But I want more people like World of Isaac and fewer people like I see way too often. Like, every year we keep having these stories. You know, this kid, Zeke Mayo for Kansas. And, you know, he's like, Kansas having a disappointing season. Like people are seriously going online and telling him to kill himself, you know? And it's like, what would possess you as a human? You know, yes, you hide behind, you cowardly hide behind a fake, you know, profile. But, like, to even type that out. Like, what is
really,
going
it's really
on?
Weird. Yeah,
it's really messed up. And so just shout out to, you know, to Andy, to people who loved him. I mean, I have a lot of friends who were actual, like, in-person friends with him. Chris Vanini, friend of our show, was friends with him. And it's sad, but also, like, it's wild to see, like, the impact he had and stuff I didn't even know. Like, you know, he had, like, the governor of Michigan, you know, weighing in on like a Verner's argument about which flavor is better. And, Faygo and stuff like that. Like the number of people who followed him nationally and stuff, pretty amazing. I mean, I didn't even realize it, but it's cool to see that someone like this who had fun with it, who yes, was an emotional fan, but yes, had all kinds of, you know, reason to complain for many years, still had a positive, you know, fun message. And rest in peace to Andy Isaac.
Yeah, very well said. I was not aware of him until you started talking about him a few weeks ago. Actually, I think the first time we brought him up on the show was probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, somewhere in that neighborhood. But the Jumbotron, I think it was all at the same time, like a couple of weeks ago. It was the Red Wings. Obviously, the Red Wings and Pistons play in the same arena, but you've got those two. You had Michigan, Michigan State, you had the Lions, like all flashing Saturday up there in his name, and it was pretty cool, like just to see the impact that he had on that area and their sports teams.
Yeah, so we need this is what we need, you know, this is what fans should do. So if you're a member of whatever Twitter, you know, think be more like Andy. And also, it doesn't mean that, like, you can't you know, speak your mind. I mean, I think that it would be fitting to exit with some words from Andy that will be, we've played before, and they will be I promise you, this is something we'll go to often because it's always accurate.
You know, it almost looks too pretty outside to say it, but it's really important. It's Sunday. It's game day. The Bears today. The Bears tomorrow.
No!
The Bears every day of lives. Go Lions.
We all hate the Bears.
Okay. Kieser, I thought you were bleeping.
Is no Kieser response.
Okay. Anyway.
What do you mean?
Yeah, so the point – it's fine. If you – hopefully you heard that and understood it. The empty spaces are F the Bears, F – like if you put bleeps in, then – you know what I'm saying? Like if
they
you put
were bleeps in, then –
There were bleeps there. I got this empty space. I got nothing.
You're on Zoom, man.
Maybe it's my broken computer.
Yes.
Okay. Well, good.
Good job, Keezer.
There you go. Guy, I apologize, Keezer. See, I'm going to be more positive online and on our show. So, yes, those words from Andy Isaac will live on forever, and we will play them many, many times in the future.
Teron Davenport will be with us coming up next. We'll get into the Titans and what he expects as free agency opens up next week for the Titans. We'll have weekend winners coming up at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.